You know, these people must be balmy, Daisy. Listen to this. Look, answers to correspondence. Tell Auntie Bertha all about it. Dear Auntie Bertha, I've been walking out with my young man for 20 years. Do you think it would be right for me to let him kiss me now? I should think they've forgotten what they're walking out for.
Elsie and Doris Waters there, better known, of course, as Gert and Daisy. In that bygone era when everybody listened to the wireless, Elsie and Doris Waters brought their warm Cockney backyard chit-chat into millions of homes. They gossiped and we listened. It was a unique style which the nation loved and which has reserved for them a place in radio's Hall of Fame for all time. And so, as you can imagine, I was more than a little excited when I arrived at the home of Elsie Waters to listen myself, as she more than adequately proved, it's a funny business. Elsie, it's a great pleasure to be sitting with you here in Sussex, looking out over this beautiful scenery. And I was only thinking as I came down on the train about your brother Jack.
Oh, yes.
Who was on this programme some years ago, and he told me a marvellous line I've never forgotten. He said that we had a family orchestra, you know. It was known as the E.W. Waters Bijou Orchestra.
That's right, yes.
Of course, there were six of you, weren't there?
Yes, yes.
And correct me if I'm wrong, wasn't it two violins, a trumpet, piano, viola?
Jack played the viola, I played the violin. Doris did the second violin.
Yeah.
But we used to muddle about, and we used to go and entertain everywhere, you know. We sort of brought up on it in a way.
Yes, you had to do it, didn't you? Really?
Oh, had to. Yes.
There was no getting away from it. When you were five, you had to learn to play the piano.
That's right. We had to start then, and of course we had to keep on once we started. And then after that, when we were about 12, we had to take up another instrument. So I took up the violin. And I used to play the violin in our act quite a bit, you know, because I worked very hard, and eventually I became a pupil of Albert Salmon's. And in the beginning, Doris and I, we just used to do an act where we didn't do Gert and Daisy at all, you know.
Mm.
Did you know that?
Close harmony, I believe.
Well, a bit.
Yes.
Very close, you know. bit adjacent.
That was a direct result, obviously, of your musical upbringing.
It was, you see, because we both played the piano, and we could swap over on the stage or platform. No, it used to, not on a stage. We didn't do stage work then. We used to do Masonics after dinner entertaining and that kind of thing, you know. We'd do two or three a night. It was jolly good.
For a guinea or something.
Oh, we got more than that. Two or three guineas,
really?
Yes, rather.
Elsie, can you remember your first proper engagement?
Well, we had a lot of interviews with Mr. Will C. Pepper, Harry Pepper's father.
Oh, yes.
Because he ran concert parties, you see. And it was very funny because somebody told us to... Well, Harry said, go and see Father, you know, so he went up, and he was in Swallow Street, Piccadilly, had an office there, and so we would go up, and he would say, well, do something for me. And then he said, well, I think I could do with two girls like you. I've got a little place, Southwold, and I think I'd like you to go there. And so we said, we don't think we could, you know, Mr. Pepper. He said, why not? Oh, we don't think Mother would like us to wear short frocks.
Short skirts?
Yes. And so that was the end of that.
Was that the concert party troupe all wore?
Or short skirts.
Above the knees.
Oh, yes, that's right. We didn't think Mother would like that, you see. Anyway, after that, he said, well, I've got a show just going for a month to Clacton on the pier there. Yes. And Harry will be with it. He'll be playing the piano for you. And so he said, well, you go. We said, oh, we'll go and try, you see. And so we went, and he paid us £10 for the week. And we were going to be there for a month. And we did rather like it, but after a week there was a strike. Everybody went home, including us.
Oh.
And we thought, oh dear, now what are we going to do? So we went to see Mr. Pepper and said, you know, Mr. Pepper, we did enjoy it after all. And we think we'd like to go to Southwold for you. Oh dear, he said, no, it's too late now. I can only take one of you. So I went and telephoned him and asked him to take Deutsch. He telephoned him and asked him to take me. He said, come up and see me. So he went and he said, I have both of you. How much do you want? And so I said, took a deep breath and I said, well, £16 a week. He said, I'll give you eight. Oh, he said, thank you very much. We'll come. And so he went. That was our first real job.
Really?
Yes. And we did enjoy it. It was marvellous. At Southwold, it was a dear little place.
Yes, yes.
And we made lots of friends there.
Yes. When I spoke to you on the telephone the other day, you did a remarkable bit of memory searching and came out with a little introduction that you used to sing about Mrs. Waters' daughters.
Oh, good evening, everybody.
Was that sort of at Masonic, you'd do that?
Yes, yes.
Do it for me.
Good evening, everybody. Here we are again in Mrs. Waters' Daughters, and we've come to entertain. You can always switch us off when we appear before the mic. But now we're in the open, you can shoot us when you like.
So there was always a tremendous sense of comedy about your writing.
Well, there was, really. You see, and then after that we could do anything. Joyce would tell some good stories and sing a song. Yeah. I wrote for her called An Old Flower Woman in Trafalgar Square, you know, where they used to have these old flower. Gone are the days I loved of yore. Gone are the ways, they'll not come back no more. With me rheumatiz I plods on, yes, I'm getting old with knobs on. Gone are the days I loved so long ago. And she used to sing that, you see. And then, to finish that turn, we had, well, I suppose it was a good idea, but it turned out to be so useful. We used to sing all the songs that Father had taught us, you know, that he used to sing.
Mm.
When Father was the boy, he whistles the songs they used to sing, they fill his heart with joy. And of all the songs you hear today, there are none he can enjoy, like the wonderful songs they used to sing when Father was the boy. As a stroll along the Bois de Boulogne, you know,
that's
all that.
Right.
And he went right into those with all the same rhythm.
Yes.
And it was one of them, finishing up with you, she's my lady love. And I could play my violin as well in that, you see.
Yeah.
And that used to book us.
Did it?
I mean, it got us a terrific amount of work, I'm quite sure. Because we always had pretty dresses and we were always well dressed. And we were so dedicated.
Yes.
I'm talking to you. I'm dedicated now, aren't I, silly clod?
Everybody listening, I'm sure, wants to hear about Gert and, of course, Daisy.
Oh, yes.
You were Gert.
I was Gert.
You were Gert, with the enormously long-suffering boyfriend, Wally.
Yeah.
Never got round to popping the question.
That's right. Sad.
It was beautifully observed, but how did it start?
Well, how did it now? That is very, very funny. It started like this. We'd finished our work.
Yes.
You see, our concert work and that kind of thing, after-dinner work. And we got home one night, and we said, good gracious, we've got to make that record tomorrow. And we used to work on Saturdays in those days, you see. We got nothing ready. I said, I can't write a song now. So we said, let's do a talking record for a change. Oh, well, what should we talk about? Well, weddings. People always like weddings. And so I wrote a little verse, wedding bells, they all seem so happy and gay. But when 12 months are gone, will they sing this sweet song, many happy returns of the day. See, and that was the start of it. And then we went into about only 3 minutes of Cockney patter. I said, well, what are we going to call ourselves? Well, I'll call you Gert, because I like saying it. So I said, well, I'll call you Daisy. There's always a Daisy amongst them. So that's how it became Gert and Daisy.
And the record was the Cockney gossiping housewives, as it were, watching a wedding. And commenting on about the bride.
Look at them. Yes,
lovely idea. And that was the start of Girton Day.
It was really.
I bet you never realised that you were sitting on a little gold mine with those.
Oh,
two
we didn't really, you know, yeah. Because we went round and as they say, we put it on the wax as you did in those days, yeah. You know, on the Saturday morning when you really worked. And about 10 days later, the recording manager phoned up and said, "You know, you two have struck oil." So we said, "Oh, have we? Not very interested, you know." So we said, "Well, how do you mean? Is that Cockney record, that Girton Day, is that Wedding Bells record, you mean?" We said, "Oh, is that all right?" "It's all right, yes, I think it is." And about a week or fortnight later, Christopher Stone played it on his, in his recordings, you know.
Yes, first of the disc jockeys, wasn't
he? Yes, he was. And the funny part of it was that the day he played, every time we went to a, we had three shows, one at the Savoy, one at the Holborn Restaurant, one at Frascati's, and each one they said, "Do the Cockney women." We said, "I'm very sorry, we don't do Cockney women, you make muddling us up somebody else." And then the last one, they said to the chap who booked us, "Why do they keep asking us?" He said, "Well, Christopher Stone played your record on the wireless at lunchtime today." Oh, we said, "That? Mm. I don't know whether we can remember it. Will you put on a long speech and see if we can remember what we said?" And so I took the handkerchief out of my violin case and tied it round my neck and borrowed somebody's hat, put it on back to front. Doris had her old clothes that she did Gone Are the Days in. There's another song I wrote for. And we went on and did Girton Daisy for the first time at a Masonic after dinner.
The canvas can be filled with anything, can't it, with Girton Daisy?
Oh, yes. Anything.
Rationing. Yes. Queuing. Oh, marriage plans.
Everything.
Decorating. Mm. Driving lessons.
Everything.
Anything.
Oh, I know, yes.
And everybody identifies with it.
You do. And the thing is, I think, I know that we did work hard and one thing, but we enjoyed every minute of it, Mama said that. But other people who worked just as hard and not been so successful, and I always feel so sorry for them.
Mm.
Because it just came our way, and there it was.
Mm.
To be picked up and carried on and carried. And look where it's taken us to. We've been to New Zealand.
Yes.
We've been to South Africa twice.
Yeah.
America, Canada. And it was marvellous.
I like the romantic stories best. Yeah. You know, oh, yes, you know, where the bridegroom carries the bride over the threshold. Yeah. Oh, lovely. Daisy, when you was married, did Bert carry you over the threshold?
No, I carried him. He couldn't walk.
Oh, I never told you.
What?
Bert got married the other day.
Oh, God,
that was a lovely party. I wish you'd been there.
Oh, so do I.
Did it go on for a long time? Well, the neighbours complained at 9, the neighbourhood at 10, the police at 11, and the police van come at 4:15.
Oh, good.
I got a corner seat.
Did you?
The one you usually get, you know. Oh, but the police had a lot of trouble with poor old Ted before we left the house. But I will say this for Ted. When Ted's had a couple, he doesn't get nasty, does
he? Oh, no, never nasty. Yeah. Always a gentleman. Very nice.
Bit rowdy. Well, you can't help it sometimes,
no.
Can you?
Well, I mean, you can't break the furniture up without making a little noise, can you?
No, that's right,
Daisy. And when we got to the police station, the superintendent, you know the one, girl.
Oh, I know you.
He was a ginger handlebars,
yeah.
You know.
He was quite nasty to us.
Was he?
Oh, well, while we was arguing the toss with him, the bride and bridegroom slipped off on their honeymoon.
Oh, that's good.
Where'd they spend it?
In the Anderson.
At their honeymoon in the Anderson.
Well, that's next best thing to Blackpool. Plenty of sand and water.
Oh, yeah.
Yes, that's right.
Oh, and that reminds me. I've just had a letter from Bert.
Have you?
I suppose his mind's on darts as usual.
Yeah, of course it is.
His colonel calls him the senseless headache. Because he's always talking about darts when he writes to me.
Oh?
In this letter he said he got a new double top.
New double top?
Yeah.
Oh, that's easy, isn't it?
Means he's got a new hat.
That's right.
Yes. And when he was inoculated, he said he was suffering on his double six.
Oh, I know.
Yes, that's right. That means he was inoculated in his right arm.
That's it.
Yes,
that's it.
But what about when the mule kicked him in his double three?
Where were you born, Elsie?
Bromley by Bow.
So you are a proper Cockney?
Yes.
Were all the family, Jack and everybody?
Yes, yes, yes. Mind you, we weren't allowed to talk like it. Perhaps I do now, I don't notice it.
Gert and Daisy certainly captured all the warmth of the Cockney character.
Yes, I think they did.
Can I ask you who, as performers, when you were younger, you admired? Anybody who may have influenced you at all in your youth?
You see, we never went much. We went once to the pantomime, and then there was a big... a place called People's Palace in the Mile End Road.
Yes.
And they used to have a wonderful concert there, and we were allowed to go once to that. But that's all we ever had, so we never had anything to go on at all. I mean, it just used to come to us, I suppose. We didn't go about looking for it or anything, it just came.
When you were at Variety then, who were your favourites who you used to like to work with?
Oh, well now... We loved Nellie Wallace.
Mm, yes.
Oh, she was a darling, you know. I sometimes sing one of her songs now, you know.
What? Not the Blasted Oak?
No, my mother said, always look under the bed before you blow the candle out to see if there's a man about. I always do. You can make a bet. But I've never had the luck to find a man there yet. Bless her heart, she was wonderful.
The other night I broke my watch, the screw I couldn't wind. I met a nice young gentleman, and oh, he was so kind. He said his occupation was repairing jewelry. He took my watch, then said he'd see what he could do for me. He told me to meet him up at Hampstead Heath by the old Blasted Oak. I toggled up the hill in my Sunday gown. Oh, Lord, love me how the rain came down. Oh, la lady, oh, dee, dee. Didn't know what to do. The rain through my shoes began to soak. Now I've lost my bloomin' way, lost my bloomin' watch, and I can't find the Blasted Oak.
Funny woman, very funny woman.
Yes.
Anybody else who you admired and tickled your particular sense of humour?
We weren't the sort of people to go and stand on the side of the stage and watch other people work, really, you know. And I suppose we wouldn't be on with Revel and West much.
Oh, no, no.
I know they were at Drury Lane, Ugly Sisters, one time, you know.
Yes.
They did very well.
Yes.
I remember going so well and taking them a whole lot of sweets to eat. Doris and I... got a lot of chocolates and sweets and took them all along before they started the opening. I wonder if they ever got through them. But, you know, I shouldn't say this, but I suppose it was in our makeup, but there was never any jealousy in our makeup at all. We were never jealous of anybody. Everybody got on with it and that was it.
It's a very professional... approach, isn't it?
Well, it's got to be, hasn't it?
Mm. I suppose in the 40s and 50s, well, Gert and Daisy were never off the air, were they? They were on all the time, whether it was Henry Hall's Guest Night
or
Workers' Playtime maybe from somewhere.
Oh, yes. We did a lot. But at the same time, we were doing our music hall work, you see. But, you know, when the war broke out, Lord Wharton sent for us and said he'd just been made Minister of Food. And he wanted us to help him. He said, you made a mistake, Lord Wharton. I'm a music hall artist. That's the very thing I want you for. He said, what do you want us to do? Well, he said, our people will not come to the gas and electricity showrooms. And they want an inducement, and you're going to be that. So we said, well, if we can do anything, we will. I said, what do you mean, like, here's a recipe from the kitchen front. Please try it. Don't be lazy. If it all goes wrong, I'll bear the brunt, your old friends Gert and Daisy. That's right, just what I want, he said.
I believe that you were responsible in no small measure for popularising Wharton pie.
Yes, indeed, we were. Mm.
Can you remember the recipe?
Oh, I can't remember it now. No, I've got it somewhere in a book.
Gert, what?
I've got a nice friendly face, I think you will agree, and folks are always popping in to have a cup of tea. You might think there's a war on, they argue and they shout. Yes, but it's not war or politics I'm worrying about.
What is it?
Everybody pinches my butter.
None.
They won't leave my butter alone. And nothing is better than butter for keeping the old man at home. Like daddy, everybody says I'm old-fashioned to sit on the things that are rationed. So pinch all my ham and my plum and apple jam, but please leave my butter alone.
How did Petticoat Lane start?
Well, the BBC asked us to do a show and we called it Petticoat Lane, and I wrote a chorus for it.
Come Lasses and Lads.
Oh, and fancy remembering
yes,
that.
Come Lasses and Lads.
Come Lasses and Lads. The mums and the dads bring Granny and Auntie Jane. There's rollicking fun for four. Plunce down in Petticoat Lane. Singing a song as we joggle along, or lest we're young again. There's rollicking fun for four. Plunce down in Petticoat Lane. From every stall you'll hear them call your fun, I'm a friendly mob. Come on, man, here you are. It's what you want. It's just the job. The jolly good bet. In case you forget, we'll mention it once again. There's rollicking fun for four. Burns down in Petticoat Jolly, or Petticoat Down in Petticoat Lane. Bomb.
That's a wonderful, lovely idea for a series for good.
Yes, it was. It ran for 18 months, you know.
Mm,
every week.
Mm. Yes, lovely idea. And as you say, you talk about anything.
Anything you can, you know, really. It's very handy because if you have a weekly series and something's always happened a few days beforehand, and it's all there for you. If you're willing to take it, which I suppose you are.
Do you have any vivid memories of your wartime entertaining?
Oh, so many.
Because you were one of that marvellous band of people who actually went out to the troops, and did you stop?
Oh, yes, we did. Yes, we did for a long time. And it was marvellous, really. I remember one treat we had was having lunch at Vice Regal Lodge with Lord Wavell and Lady Wavell, and they were sweet people, really. And somebody said, there's a plane at your disposal if you'd like to see the Taj Mahal.
Oh, lovely.
We said, oh, how wonderful. Do you know? It kept us so busy, we hadn't got time even to do that. Oh. There were 3,000 troops waiting to be entertained, so we had to go and do that. We couldn't go and see the Taj Mahal. Oh.
I would imagine bringing your London homespun gossip to the troops out there would be absolutely marvelous.
Well, it was, because we got it all right for them, and they knew us before we started. You know, it was wonderful.
He always seems to fall on his feet, doesn't he, wherever he is? Even in the army. Is he getting on all right?
Oh, rather.
Gets on all right with everybody. All the officers salute him, right up to the colonel.
Well,
good to see. As a matter of fact, Bert and the colonel smoke the same cigars.
Mm.
Bert smokes the same cigars as the colonel.
Yes, well, the colonel smokes the first half and Bert finishes them all.
Oh, that's right. Yes. Oh, dear. Say, dear, what did Bert join as? Did he tell him he was good at anything?
Yes, he said he was good at shorthand.
Oh.
Then they found out they were shorthanded in the cookhouse, and now he's peeling...
Now he's peeling potatoes for about 500 of them.
Oh.
My Wally was the cook in the last war.
Was he?
He got wounded twice.
Oh. Mm. Well, Bert was cooked for 2 weeks, and they nearly killed him.
Your Wally, all right?
Oh, he's lovely,
is he?
Rather.
Do you know, I'm going to get a lovely surprise for him. I'm going to write up to the BBC, going to ask him to play a record for my Walter.
Oh, yes?
Yes. So you can write up to the BBC and ask him to play a record. They'll play any record you like to say, and that goes over the air to the one who is far away, and that's like a message of love.
Well, you're going to ask him to play. Barnacle Bill the Sailor.
No. No, I'm going to ask them to play, I Can't Love You Anymore,
any more than I do.
Silly Kurt.
Don't do it.
Kurt, you sloppy apron.
No, leave her. I'll tell you what, here. Why don't you get into play one for Bert? He'll be glad to hear from you.
Perhaps he would.
Of course he would. I wonder what I'm going to play for him. Is there anything you like, you've only got to say.
Oh, blimey, I know.
What, please?
I get along without you very well.
It's been lovely, Elsie, to come to your home here in Sussex and look out over your lovely garden. And you're very proud of your garden, obviously.
Yes. Love every minute of it. Yes. Every bit of it. Beautiful.
Yes. Yeah.
We had two lupins named after us, you know. It was very funny. But there was an old darling man in a place near Wolverhampton, and he somehow got these lupins to different colours, you know, and we heard about this, and so we thought we must have a couple of those, you see. So we went, and we stood in a queue, and they came out and said, "What are you waiting for?" We said, "Well, we've come to get some, two lupins, you see." "Oh, we'll come in the office," they said. "You might name two of them, mind you." Well, we thought that'd be lovely. So what name should we give them? So we said, "Gert and Daisy." Well, we can't call a lupin a daisy, can we? So it had to be Elsie and Waters and Doris Waters, and it sounded so hard.
And so there are lupins available now, are they?
I don't know whether they are now, dear. I know I've got one still in the garden,
yeah,
with Elsie Waters' one in the garden. I'm afraid Doris Waters, that sort of reverted to type. It was a beautiful dark red one, but it reverted to type. They can, you know.
Mm.
I shall do that in a minute if you're not careful.
May I thank you for your kind hospitality, Elsie? It's been lovely to meet you, and I do hope I can come and see you again sometime.
Oh, I'd be delighted, dear. You're lovely to talk to. You ask all the right questions, even if you get the wrong answers.
Thank you ever so much. And if you've enjoyed listening at home, do join me the same time next week. Until then, this is Mike Craig and Elsie Waters saying
bye-bye, everybody.
Bye-bye.
Lovely to hear her voice again. And It's a Funny Business is produced in Manchester by Mike Craig.